This is the World of Cheer podcast, and I'm David Hanbury, your host. The World of Cheer is brought to you by the Open Championship Series. If you haven't already checked out the Open Championship Series, you're going to want to. The series is comprised of hundreds of events, some even close to you, and you can build your season with points and rankings as you build discounts and credits to help you attend one of the Open Cheer and Dance Championships at the end of your season. It's a new way to compete, and I really believe it's going to change the world of cheer. If you're listening to the World of Cheer podcast, then we want to hear from you. We want to hear about stories and ideas and feedback of our podcast and what you would like to cover next. Getting in touch with us is super simple. It's all done by social media. You can follow us at World of Cheer Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, welcome back. This is the World of Cheer podcast, and this is going to be our episode dealing with the road to college. So a lot of people out there that are starting out, whether they're little bitty or they're all the way up through high school, they go to their college programs, either somewhere close to them around their hometown, or they may watch them on TV and they see these cheerleaders all over the sidelines and they say, hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be there. So I've got a panel of guests here with me. It's a great panel that are actually all former athletes that cheered in college and then are also college coaches all over the spectrum. So we brought them in to ask them exactly what it's going to take, not only to make the programs that they currently are involved with, but the programs also that they cheered with, and they're in touch with a lot of other programs. So we just want to give you a lot of information based on what it takes to get to that level. Jeremy's a great friend of mine. If you listen to the first podcast, my 16-year-old son, JD Hanbury, Jeremy obviously is one of his heroes. He calls him Uncle Jeremy because, and I think he said that you were one of the guys that could stunt and tumble. And that's what made him really be motivated to do both for college. But I'm going to throw it back to Jeremy. Jeremy and Allie are great friends of mine and my wife, Kendall, and our whole family. And they have a little baby that's amazing. And we get to hang out. But I want to throw it to him. Jeremy, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell them a little background on you, how you got through college, and what you're doing now.
Perfect. All right. Yeah, I'm Jeremy Lumpkin. I think what JD was alluding to was what we refer to as a hybrid. It's what we used to call ourselves back in the day when we could stunt and tumble. But growing up through college, I went to Jones Junior College at the time, then went from there to University of Kentucky, graduated from there, and then went on to cheer for our national team, our U.S. national co-ed team, for a couple years. And now I am actually a gym owner of a gym in D'Iberville, Mississippi. It's called Gym of Champions, and I am a current coach back home at Jones College in the Open Co-Ed Division at UCA College Nationals.
All right. Thank you. And Jeremy likes to spend his time on his boat, and he's been known to bet on the Wildcats, even though there's always basketball season, and that's always a little more friendly for you. And baseball, too. So Jeremy has, if you didn't know or didn't hear from that, Jeremy was kind of, being very light on his resume. It's very much deeper than that. We'll get into it later as we go. And he has a ton of wealth of knowledge for athletes as well as coaches. So we also have, if you noticed, in the past few years, there's one of the largest schools in the United States, I believe. Isn't that right, James?
That's correct. Yeah, it's consistently right around the top three, us, Ohio State, and Arizona State. One of us is always the largest.
Yeah. Every year. So they go back and forth between the largest. So we have James. He is down there at University of Central Florida. I think, didn't y'all get like your first regular season loss in like how many years for football past week?
And I was there too in Pittsburgh, 1-point loss. Just Not the best first half, and it really cost us. But that was the first regular season loss since 2016. Yeah.
Yeah. So James and I have been really good friends as well for a very long time. James obviously was he's actually coaching where he cheered at University of Central Florida. And he is married now with one on the way, right?
Yeah.
Coming in soon. We're all building the next generation of our industry, I guess. So James, you want to give a little bit of your background, where you came from and what you're doing now?
Absolutely. James Kersey, current assistant coach at UCF for about the last, I think, decade, 10 years, 9 years, somewhere around there. Former UCF cheerleader. And then I co-own a event production company called All Out Championships and own a apparel and material, I guess, or what do I call that? A sports equipment provider, American Cheer Supply.
Yeah, doing great. And if you don't follow James on Instagram, it's great because he's like me. If you don't follow me, then you probably shouldn't, because I don't put out much. But if you do follow me, then you notice that I've been completely different people visibly my entire life. Yes. James posts every weekend y'all play, you post flashback to game day.
Well,
and he posts when you're cheering.
Yeah, last season it was all throwbacks from when I cheered, which consisted of about 13 photos. And that was it. That's all I have for my 5 years of cheering. Now we have a team photographer and every kid gets 1,000 photos every week.
Right. Yeah, but in his team photos, he's this like clean cut little college kid. Looks like he could, you know, he specializes in walking old ladies across the street and volunteering at the local orphanage. Yeah,
exactly.
And now you see James.
And now it's Roscoe Flex, you know.
Yeah, now James is more likely to be, you know, next to you in a Harley, giving you his the eye, and you just pull off the road and get out of his way. So I always appreciate that. But these are great guys. We also have Chris White, which I'm going to let him. He's in traffic in Atlanta, but I'm going to let him unmute for a second so you can hear this, Chris. Give us an update on where you are, what's going on, and what you're doing right now.
So I'm currently heading north on I-85 right now. Seems to be all lanes blocked except one. I'm in the HOV lane. I've counted 15 police officers, 3 fire trucks, and 4 ambulances, and 2 special incident units past me. So seems to be pretty intense here on I-85. That's your Atlanta traffic update right now.
Chris is currently the coach at one of the big SEC programs there in Georgia. And I saw him post last week. He was actually on ESPN Game Day and stuff out there with all the people. It was pretty exciting. And hopefully he can give us some insight if he can get to more of a quiet place. He's also works with Infinity and has done a lot in his past. So we got a great panel. We're going to go ahead and get into it when Chris gives me a thumbs up because he's in a quiet place. We're going to get back with him. But first off, this first whole session, and we're going to do, you know, 10 or 12 minutes because we know people out there don't have a great attention span. You might already be fading. So we want to keep it relevant and really give you some good information. So if you tuned into this, you're either kid, coach, parent, but you're interested and you want to know what it is to cheer in college. And I think anything that you look up on the internet, you can find out like requirements. You can find out what they're looking for. You can go to a game and see, you know, what you need to do to be there. So this is going to be more of kind of the insider track of what these colleges are looking for, what they can provide you with, you know, maybe some of the stuff that people don't already know that need to know. So we're going to start. I want to really start with Jeremy. Jeremy is coaching at a junior college, which has been competitive, been known competitive since, I think, since I was cheering back in the day. It's been many, many years. And it seems like they have a lot of good benefits there. It may not be as large of a program, but it's a feeder program and all that. I want you to, if you're a high school, junior high kid, and you're looking at all these places, tell me really, you know, why we would consider, or the reasons that we could consider spending a couple of years, obviously other than getting a degree, but a couple of years cheering at a junior college, and why that might be important for some of the kids listening.
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit of that is definitely it's a good stepping stone. It's a good stepping stone from high school to smaller classes before you jump into the big university scene. Obviously, it's a cheaper route. A lot of junior colleges, especially in the state of Mississippi and Alabama, they do offer a lot of scholarships. I mean, we offer free ride as far as full tuition and fees. We can waive out of state to a certain extent. You can also stack your academic scholarships if you have good grades coming out of high school. It's just a great inexpensive way that always, I'll say it for the parents in the back, the inexpensive way to get started on your education, because your first 2 years are going to be essentially the same classes anyway, unless you're really going for something specialized. But on the other hand, it also gives you an opportunity to develop your skills. So if you're not quite ready for that D1A team and that D1A spot that requires you to be at the top of your game as far as making sure that everything's clean, technique-wise, stunt-wise, tumble-wise. It gives you a couple years to develop and make a name for yourself before you walk into tryouts. And that's, I mean, the biggest thing. I'll go ahead and hit on it. The biggest thing you can do for yourself coming up through high school is to get to clinics. Go to every clinic you can go to. Anything that you're interested in, just go. The faster you can step out there and get your face out there and have a name associated with it, the easier it's going to be to be memorized, or, you know, to be familiarized when you get to tryouts, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And so basically, if I was looking, I mean, I may be looking, you cheered at University of Kentucky.
Right.
Where'd you cheer before that?
I cheered at Jones College. Well, it's Jones County Junior College at the time. Now we've actually upgraded to just Jones College. But I went there for 2 years before I went to Kentucky, and it made a huge difference from coming out of high school, you know, tossing some really cool extensions and platforms to, you know, trying out with some rewind QPs and double ups. I mean, it's a big step. It's a big 2 years. I mean, you're, especially for a guy, you're looking at your 18 versus when you're, you know, 20. That's a big growth spurt as far as strength wise and maturity as far as physical physique. So, I mean, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I was lucky and fortunate to where when I went in, I did have those 2 years. So, I mean, I was a better stunner when I walked into the doors at Kentucky. But no, getting to that point of where you walk in and you're already a developed stunner, a developed tumbler, and you've already kind of been through the game day situation, it just makes everything a lot more comfortable for you, walking into an intimidating situation. And I wasn't one that could get up to Kentucky. I mean, we're 11 hours away. So, I mean, I couldn't get up there and do so many clinics. I got to visit once before I tried out, and it got my foot in the door in a good way, in a positive way. But that's the best way you can start is getting your face out there and making sure you're developed before you walk in and actually start.
Yeah. So you definitely think that going to a junior college probably, I mean, these kids out there that say, man, I want, like John David, my kid, he's 16, you know, he's a buck 40 soaking wet, you know,
right.
We'll see what happens in the next few years, but you know, if he says, hey, I need a little bit more training or whatever, do you think personally you made the right decision, or it helped you get to cheer at the level that you wanted to by going through the junior college path?
Absolutely. And that's the thing too. You develop, you know, if you go to a smaller program, sometimes if you're in that kind of borderline, like almost ready, you're going to be that leader on the team. You're going to be that example that people look up to. And that's a great start for your mentality, especially going towards an upper level program such as Kentucky. I mean, you walk in and it's, everybody is the best from where they come from. Like you don't walk in and somebody's real shy about how good they are. You know, and that was a huge thing for me, is making sure that I could step up to the plate when we got there. And, you know, do what I was called upon to do for sure. But yeah, if it's like, in, for instance, for JD, you know, he's obviously a smaller guy. That would be a huge thing for him, I think, at least to get him to develop. And obviously he's been in cheerleading for a long time, but still it's different being in a cheer, like a guy cheering when you're 12 and 13, when you just don't have the physical ability to do what the things are, you know, you're going to have to do once you get to college. So right. I think that would be a great thing for him, or a great thing for anybody that doesn't feel quite confident and ready to step up and, you know, get to a little bit more of a comfortable spot.
I want to switch gears now, because, you know, the only person that may argue about competitive cheerleading and where it is at the top of the college level on this call, argue in defense of their program over the Wildcats would probably be James and at Central Florida, who
the Wildcat Killers. Yeah
the Wildcat Killers up there. So James, let me ask you really quickly, the difference between a four-year university that's massive and a junior college that may have a little bit more assistance academically with smaller classes or whatnot. Do you think that's an advantage? How does that play in? What do you think about that?
There's a big difference between helping a 300-person class and a 30-person class. Right. And that 30-person class might be, you know, appropriate for a kid that, you know, needs a little bit more help for those first 2 years, get through those core classes, and then be able to dive into their major, you know, at a major four-year university. So that's the other side of it, along with what Jeremy said, athletically and coaching-wise, and really just finding a home where it feels like a family and somewhere you enjoy, you know.
And that's the same thing I was talking to. I actually had a kid talk to me the other day about going to a school that isn't very competitive. They're coming from a very competitive high school. And, you know, I was like, look, why don't you go to a junior college somewhere and get two competitive years that you could actually go try to fight to win a championship somewhere, knock out your basic classes. The reason she wanted to go to this university is for her major, which is fine. That's great. That's what we're looking for. And that's the whole point of going to college. It's not to cheer. It is actually to get a degree. A lot of kids have a different mindset, but parents on the other side, I mean, that's not why they're trying to go to cheer or go to college. So getting a junior college to where you can be more competitive and still focus on your classes and get that good GPA that you want to get into the program that you're wanting to, at maybe a not as competitive university, but still want to cheer there, you know, that's a great option for them as well. And there are different ways to do that. And even looking at the programs, I mean, a lot of schools offer different programs. There are obviously some that are more well known for programs and, you know, have a better chance of securing a job afterwards, which is very important nowadays. But there's different avenues to get there. And if we can, you know, continue to make athletes see this and parents understand the value of doing that and being able to, you know, kill two birds with one stone, just makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I agree. So I hear the tourist capital of the world, I guess, is down there with James at in Orlando. But I do know another little place that a lot of people like to go to in Athens that on Saturdays probably double or triple the size of the town. I'm not sure. And, you know, Chris is in Athens. We're going to see. So what do you have to add so far? I know you're still driving and in traffic, but what do you have to add so far to the conversation? And what do you think? Let's get some color commentary from Mr. Chris White.
Yeah, I'm moving now. So I just to take a step back so everybody knows who I am. My name's Chris White. This is probably my 22nd year in the industry, maybe 23rd. I'm not going to try to age myself too much. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I cheered at the University of Cincinnati back in the 90s. I also cheered at Morehead State in the early 2000s. I'm currently the co-ed coach at the University of Georgia. I've been in Atlanta for almost 20 years. I've choreographed for Georgia Southern for about 13 years and done camps and judge tryouts all over the Southeast, Florida State, you name it, I've been around it. I worked for Stingray All-Stars for around 15 years. Even before that, it was American Cheerleading Academy. I don't know if any of you remember that. But Currently up in Athens, we're in a little bit different situation at the University of Georgia because we are non-competitive. We are tradition-based spirit squad, and it's kind of cool for us because we don't necessarily have to worry about competing and rushing that schedule and worrying about both. So Athens is a football town. It has been forever. it's atmosphere sells the program. A lot of the kids are, you know, they've won worlds however many times. We have a lot of Stingray kids there. We got kids from all over the country, cheer athletics come up. And they're kind of done. Their bodies are broken down from All-Star. And they just want that tradition. They want to cheer at a huge stadium in front of 95,000 people and, you know, go to the SEC championship game. They want to go to the national championship game and cheer there. And, you know, it's more about experience at the University of Georgia. I've lived on both sides of the fence. You know, I've competed and been All-Star and high school choreography and college choreography. It's just, it's something different that you offer. You know, they take a small amount of people, but the people that get in are the cream of the crop when it comes to their GPA. So we have a nice selection to choose from. It's driven as the experience and the atmosphere, and that's what they take pride in. And I've never heard somebody cheer at the University of Georgia that didn't love it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And that gives a completely different perspective, but also adds to what James said. If you want to cheer in college, there's a place for you. There's somewhere where you can fit. And you know, somebody can help you find that. And we're going to get in a little bit to how coaches and parents can help their kids find the place that they want to cheer. But we want to go to a couple of questions that we had for our or from our audience. So first question is, I know Jeremy, the first few times that I went to University of Kentucky tryouts, it was amazing because the people there were all obviously extremely talented, especially when you get to like the live tryouts, which,
right,
you know, it's in the arena on the floor. It's amazing and all that, but none of them were really nervous about that. They were nervous about the interview. And one of our questions came from, and I've done a lot of these through tryouts, and I was a college coach at one point, and obviously cheered in college, but a lot of our questions came from, hey, we've got all the skills required, but we're scared to death of the interview. What in the world, like, do you have interviews? Do you do interviews? And what are they looking for? But not only that, I think that even if you don't have an interview at your tryout, you're looking for an ambassador. You're looking at you're looking at someone to represent your team and your university on a sideline that doesn't wear a helmet, that right, doesn't hide behind anything. Right. So if you could help, I mean, both from your personal experience of interviews and what they're actually looking for in that, could you give some clarification to our audience about that?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing about it is you're looking at an interview process. It's the same thing as a job. It's just making sure that you can hold a conversation with a group of strangers that you don't know. And sometimes it changes at Kentucky. You know, we've had it to where it was in the press conference room to where you're underneath all the lights and it's a high pressure situation where it's all alumni that do the interviews. It's all the judges, and they're asking you about current events that you probably should know about, that you probably don't know about because you've been training to be a cheerleader and all that stuff 7 days a week and not watching the news too much. But it's really just about relaxing, you know, and it's not as pressure filled as you make it out to be. Typically when you walk in, they want you to introduce yourself, say where you came from, you know, some general things about, you know, why, what would make you a good candidate for a cheerleader here at this university. You know, sometimes we used to do them. I used to coach at Faulkner State College over in Bayonet, Alabama as well. And we'd make it kind of fun for them. You know, I'd tell them to say their name, where they're from, and, you know, if you could pick one fruit to describe yourself, what would it be and why? You know, and you get just kind of funny answers just to kind of make them relax to where, you know, it's you get to see the real them versus the tense them. So don't put too much pressure on it. Just make sure that you relax and you try to portray your true self versus, you know, your uptight, too crazy self, to make it a little bit better for the judges.
Right. James, do y'all do interviews and, or have you done one, and what do you have to add?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very similar to what Jeremy said. It probably is the most stressful side of that. You know, so many of these kids come in, especially the young ladies, and they feel like, you know, if I don't make this team, it's the end of the world. You know, this is it. This is everything. And, you know, so we really try to make the entire tryout process very relaxed, very fun. You know, we kind of cut up with the kids a little bit. But, you know, during the interview process, it's a little bit more in depth for a new athlete coming in, because we don't know them as well. Even the ones that we maybe have a little bit of history with through the clinics and recruiting, we still, you know, it's an opportunity for them to be in front of all of our coaches and to kind of have a conversation. So it is nice, you know, to see, a guy that knows to come in and, you know, we're all sitting there and he'll shake our hands and thank us for being there. And, you know, you almost see the kids waiting to be told to sit. Like, it's the ones that have those interview skills that they've learned somewhere, whether it's at home or at school, you know, just kind of a proper job interview skill versus coming in, sitting down, slouched over, shaking their head, you know, too many ums and this and that. You know, so it does make a difference because we are kind of looking at someone that's going to be representing the university, not always with a coach in front of them. They're going to be at a merit event. They're going to be out there in the public. They're going to be talking to alumni. They're going to be up in the press box. You know, how are they going to be handling themselves and talking to, you know, if it's coming down to two kids and, man, you know, one of them really is, you know, they're equal in skills, you know, that can be a difference maker there. But besides that, we do try to make them laugh and have a good time and, you know, smile a bit. And really it's just the interviews more about getting to know them more than anything and a little bit for them to get to know us a little bit better too.
Yeah, that's great. So Chris, I know y'all don't, you're not competitive. So you really do get ambassadors for your program. Do y'all do an interview process and what are you looking for?
We do. It's about articulation, you know, what their story is. A lot of it has to do with personality, if they have one. A lot of the kids that use humor interview well. A lot of the times the nervous humor actually works out in their benefit. You know, if they're eyes down and stuttering through an interview, they're not necessarily going to score high in that type of environment. The interviews that I've gone through, it's, you know, deep breaths and chin up and be confident in everything you say, even if it's bull crap. So, you know, solid. Sometimes
Chris White, ladies and gentlemen,
sometimes the best interviewers are full of crap, and it's almost a political thing. You know, if you can feed off confidence in an interview, then that person's probably going to get selected. And that's my thing, is relax, be as truthful as you can, and try not to be full of crap, but confidence exudes, excelling.
The message there is, be a politician.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Be relaxed.
Understand
that they're just asking you the question so that, because you are a representation of the athletic program at a college, which is unlike being a lot of times in an all-star gym or a high school setting. You know, you're a representation. You're the face of an athletic program a lot of times. So people are going to come up and they're going to talk to you. The way you give them feedback, whether they're a kid or a 90-year-old alumnus donator,
right,
you probably need to be able to communicate with them.
Right.
So if they can communicate under pressure at this interview, then they can probably communicate with them. But the best thing about it is, hey, just relax and be yourself, because you're here for a good reason, and talk about what you know. So I think those are all good advice. We got two more questions before we get into the bonus section of this. So the first question is the number one topic. What do you recruit from, all-star or school? We get that asked all the time. Obviously, you know, from my background, All-Star has a little, they train more, they have more apparatus, they have paid coaches, they have all this. But the school, you're getting game day experience, which is probably, 90% of what every college cheerleader is going to do. They're going to be on the sidelines of some game, representing their school and the teams there. So I want to open this up. Let's start with James.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's no right answer to, where do we recruit? I mean, we ask our kids whenever we're doing a clinic, in front of all the attendees, how many of you guys cheered in high school? How many of you guys cheered in All-Star? It's almost half and half, and maybe a quarter of them did both. There's no right answer on which one is going to be better, because they both can prepare you differently in certain areas, obviously game day side, and then as well as, the skill side. Depending on if it's a co-ed high school program, you're going to get the skills there, in stunning, but you might not be as heavy on the tumbling side. So, the one thing with college now is, we're not looking for double fulls because we can't throw double fulls. We all cheer on a hard floor, and a full is about as hard as it gets. So, on our side, for Jeremy and I, we're not looking for guys dancing and jumping either. So it's, that's not a skill that we're looking for. So, that side of it's a little bit different. So there's benefits on both. I couldn't tell a kid not to do one or the other. I know there are some high school coaches out there that do that, or there are All-Star programs that want to limit that, but they're both going to make the kid a more well-rounded, better cheerleader at the college level. So that's about all I got on that one.
Yeah. So Jeremy, you obviously have a gym that has All-Stars, but y'all also coach just as many or more of the high school teams around you. You're still not only cheered at University of Kentucky, you cheered Team USA. You've represented a lot, and you're a college coach. So Right. You want to add to this about the benefits of both, or the recruiting, or
it is, well, yeah, it definitely benefits to do both. I think that, most of your college coaches aren't going to come to your high school game. We are going to go to your high school competition. If you are at a competitive high school, obviously you have a little bit better chance of being seen and being, quote unquote recruited, by a college. But we recruit mostly from our clinics. I think that's why I said earlier, getting yourselves into clinics where you might be interested, that's going to get you the most recognition from a staff or from a coach that's in college. A lot of things, obviously you're going to get benefit from both, but it's a lot easier to teach a high V than it is to teach a double up. So, it's one of those things that you're not going to get the same experience in both most of the time, unless you are at a competitive program, like your Bartos, your Graves County, co-ed programs, So it's kind of one of those six one way, half a dozen the other, depending on what you're wanting, Right. I said, it's kind of different for Chris. He's looking for the more polished game day cheerleaders, which, to each their own. That's kind of where we're, that's kind of what this is for, to show that there are different options for everyone that's
right
involved in the sport.
For sure. And we still have a kind of a low, we got a good network on Chris. Chris, you want to add to this real quick?
Oh, I can see him now.
Yeah. I would say over the years, my experience is All-Stars maybe have somewhat of an edge when it comes to the skill base score sheet. It's pretty equal across the board when it comes to are they able to perform in front of people. Small edge on the strictly high school kids when it comes to sideline presence. Some of these All-Star kids don't cheer on the sideline for their school, so they don't necessarily know how important a fight song is. So I would think, depending on the score sheet weight on, what a coach is looking for us, obviously the baseline isn't necessarily the hardest tumbling path. So I would say it doesn't matter as long as you have that presence and you can do the basic skills.
That was great advice. All right, Jeremy, I want to ask you this last question. I know you got to bounce really quickly, but this is a question we get all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you get cut? So you've been at Kentucky. You've seen people obviously get cut from the team that they dreamed about. You've probably had to cut people from your teams. A lot of these people think it's just like, that's the end. So for the people out there that went to somewhere and got cut, what happens? What if you get cut?
I mean, that's what junior colleges are for. I mean, that's one of those things that we look at that. We like as a coach, I talk to all our bigger programs and look for those ones that aren't necessarily quite ready for that 4 year, that university. And there are homes for them to go to. And I think that most coaches do at least an effort to make sure that that happens as far as finding somewhere for them to go. If they really do think that they're good enough for somewhere else and they really should continue their cheer career, it should, they try to help out with that and facilitate that as much as they can. But there are always options. I mean, some schools like to set up their tryouts on the same date to where you have to choose between the two of them, but there are definitely options somewhere else. So don't give up. Just make sure that you do your research and have a backup plan in state. And if not, talk to the coach and see what they recommend you do.
We'll throw it to James. How many people that you have had to cut maybe for your program do you wish would have taken, you know, or on the edge and maybe taken Jeremy's route of saying, hey, let's go somewhere else for a year and come back and try out? And do you have success stories that have happened in that manner?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had kids that, you know, we've looked at them and we know that one, there's probably going to be an issue with them, you know, being accepted. So that already tells you from an academic standpoint, community college is probably their best option right there. You know, and for whatever reason, they hadn't made the squad. So we do refer them to, you know, if we know that there's a door open at a Jones College or an Iowa Western or something like that. And let's see if we can get you guys up there. Now, it's a matter, you know, here in Florida, there's not a strong community college location, so we do have to send them out of state, so they have to be able to, you know, comfortable. They're not just leaving home and going to UCF. They're leaving home and they're leaving the state to take that option. So, but you know, we've also had a girl that years ago she tried out 3 years in a row. She actually tried out back then. We had JV tryouts, so she tried out 6 times and she didn't make the squad until her senior year. And she actually had a phenomenal tryout her senior year. So you know, there are people that say, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it." And we tell kids sometimes, you know, if they're on that last cut, "Hey, you're right there. You know, it's not happening this year. But if you want to come into this gym and, you know, this is where we work out and you can work out with the kids and get better, come back in a year." And I think there's an opportunity. You know, few of them are going to push themselves that hard to do it, but the ones that do usually end up making it that next year. So, and kind of pointing back over to what Jeremy was saying as well, yeah, we, for the kids that do get cut, you know, and what happens next, you wake up the next morning, you know, and you make a decision and hopefully already have a game plan, a plan B, you know, for what's next. You know, but we tell them at the very beginning of the tryouts, you know, congratulations, you've all made it past the first cut. Because most of the kids, you know, there's a ton of kids that just don't try out because they don't think they're going to make it. So they've automatically cut themselves. So we say, look, cut one is already done. You can tell, if, no matter what happens at this tryout, you can say, hey, I made it through the first cut. Because, you know, they showed up for it. So that makes a big difference for some of them.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chris White, let's say someone says, I got to be a Georgia Bulldog, and that's the only thing I want to be. I got to cheer. I started when I was 3 years old. I learned my cartwheel and my handstand, and then I went all the way through all these programs, but they come as a 18-year-old, and they don't quite cut it that year. What do you tell them? What do you say?
That's funny. You just described 98% of the people that try out at the University of Georgia. Because most of the time, if you decide and you make it to the University of Georgia, you've been a fan of the University of Georgia your whole life. It's almost cultish. It's awesome. I've seen every version of that story. So I know people aren't necessarily leaving to go somewhere else to cheer. If they're at the University of Georgia, they're there to go to school. And I've seen, you know, folks try out twice and not make it. And then, you know, the third year they got their act together and they pushed hard and they made it. So it's, if you stick with it and you listen to what you're told to get better, then you'll make it. I've seen it happen a number of times.
Well, so that's promising. And I think that that everybody had a good point. Like if we didn't fail, we probably wouldn't know what we were capable of, honestly. So get back up and do it if that's your dream. All right. So two more questions and we're done with this. We're going to shift into parents and coaches. So parents and coaches that are listening, there's a few of you out there or lots of you. What would you recommend? Let's start with James. If I'm a coach, let's say I'm a high school coach, junior high coach, or an all-star coach, what should I be doing? I have a kid in a gym, in a program that has the potential and I see it. What should I be doing for that kid and that family to get them to the next level or help them get there?
Well, a lot of that depends on the kid and the family as well. You know, depending on where they're coming from and you, the support that they're getting at home, are they prepared to go to college? I mean, if this is a kid that the grades are right, they're organized, they've got a good structure, then really it's just making sure you're opening those doors. You know, as a coach, you know, you can reach out to a college coach and say, hey, I've got, you know, can you help me, you know, get them the dates? I just, you know, and pass that off to them and, you know, basically prepare them to be able to meet with those coaches and go to those clinics, like Jeremy was saying. If it's someone that needs a little bit more structure and needs a little bit more help because they don't have that at home, you know, sometimes it's a little bit more handholding, you know, but making sure that they know that there are options out there and that, you know, cheerleading can be an avenue for them to be able to get to the next level, to be able to earn their degree. As a coach, you know, that's a big part of it. The biggest thing, you know, at least for us when we're recruiting, especially with our male athletes, is academics. And that's making sure they're taking their tests, you know, SATs, ACTs, as a sophomore, as a junior. Find out when those first dates are, you know, kind of like voting in Chicago, you know, vote early, vote often. It's take the test early and take it often and take it again. Take it before you get the results from the last one and keep upping those scores. Because you know that it's not going to hurt you to be able to take it multiple times. So that way, when they do apply, and hopefully they're applying as a junior or early in the senior year, you know, we're getting the acceptance part out, because again, that's part of the tryout process too. Is you got to be able to cheer for the school. You got to be in the school, and if you can't get in, then you can't cheer. So that's where we see, you know, the hardest part. You know, for us, getting kids in is making sure academically that they're sound. So as a coach, it's just giving that support and not being afraid to reach out to a coach or, you know, a college coach, or if you have that connection already, you know, just letting them know, hey, I got a great kid, you know, check them out.
Yeah, right. So, Chris, I'm going to change up the question a little bit for you, because obviously you were a coach at one of the predominant all-star gyms in the country, working at Stingrays. And I remember, like, even Rust with the open team and things that you did there. But one, if I'm a coach at a gym, even a small gym or a big gym, doesn't matter, what can I benefit from for showing a path to college? And what is the best thing that I can do, you know, to show those athletes that there is another level?
Yeah, I think as an all-star coach, the best thing that you can do is find out what the kids' goals are. So if they're trying to figure out, yes, I definitely want to compete in college, you need to know what schools are competitive and base that off of that kid's skill level as well. Being supportive on those type of goals and decisions. And also sometimes there's a hard realism that you have to deal with. You know, if you got an all girl base and her dream was to cheer at the University of Kentucky or Moorhead on co-ed, then, you know, you have to be realistic with that kid. As a parent, I would take the hands-off approach and just be supportive. communicate with the All-Star coach. Again, back to the All-Star coach. Make sure that you have relationships with college coaches in the area. You know, if you have all these studs, I would make yourself known to UCF and Kentucky and Moorhead and Louisville and, you know, some of these premier programs, and they need to know who you are. Send an email, introduce yourself, let them know that you have a lot of talented kids, and you know, put yourself on that radar. It's really public information on what skills you need to have for each school. So you need to be an expert on each of those, and, you know, get your kid's name out there as an all-star high school coach. Parents typically, you know, they try to get more involved than they should be, I would say. Being supportive is number one for a parent, and, you know, keeping that realistic goal for them is kind of a dual relationship you can have with the athlete as a parent and a gym owner. I would say those are the most important points.
The recommendation process. So a lot of, and I don't know if you guys do this, but I'm sure you've been in it. There's a lot of recommendations out there, and we had coaches saying, you know, we got asked to do this recommendation. What do we put on it? We have kids going, hey, I have to get two recommendations. Who do I ask? And we have, you know, parents going, my kid has to have two recommendations. where do we start? Who are we supposed to get, like our high school principal, our all-star coach? What are they supposed to say? We don't have any guidance. So, you know, I don't know if you guys do that. We can start with James. If y'all do recommendations or do, you know, letters of reference or anything, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but, you know, whether you're the writer or the person requesting it, what are your thoughts on that? What is the guidance you can give?
So it's something that we receive. It's never anything that we've asked for. You know, I guess if we're looking for anybody, it's from their coach. And more than anything, if we get one, it's an email or a text message on the side saying, let me tell you about this kid, you know, and for good or bad, you know, but we haven't, it's never anything that we've actually required. But I would say the coach is probably the best source of reference, because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be coaching these kids. So we want to know how well do they work with their teammates? How, you know, do they go out of their way to do things that the coach isn't even asking for, you know, you know, just overall, are they a great kid to coach? Because, you know, one of the things we talked about, and you and I talked about this just the other day, is, you know, our motto is we don't recruit our problems. So we want somebody to come in that fits what we see as the image for UCF cheerleading, and be a good example for the university, and not someone that's just going to give us a headache. Because no matter how talented they are, it's almost better just not to have them around and spend 4 years dealing with somebody like that. So, as far as references, I think they're great to have. It shows anytime that anybody's willing to go out of their way to write a reference for you, you know, they believe in what you're doing and believe that, you know, you're worth that time. So, certainly helps. Different schools might require it. You know, we don't require, but never hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't recruit our problems. So reiterate what you said. If you're providing it, then you obviously be honest, but yep. If that child was not an issue, then that's one of the big things that we'd look for. Chris, I'm sure at, you know, Athens at the University of Georgia, y'all definitely do some type of research on your kids. So do you do this? And is there anything that you can give, recommendations you can give for people asking or giving?
Yeah, we asked for two letters of recommendation. I don't necessarily think it's that important to where it comes from. As an all-star coach, I actually wrote 100 of these things. So typically what I enjoyed getting and receiving or writing was something anecdotal about the kid that shows how their personality is great, or some incident or story that personalizes that kid. So the coach doesn't necessarily know the kid, just from maybe from clinics. But if you have a story that you can tell and, you know, back that up on how awesome that kid is, that'd be a great way to send that message on who that kid is and how they can benefit your program. So I think letters of rec are great. I enjoyed writing them, especially for those, you know, seniors that were passionate about the program that I was at. And, you know, reading how that coach enjoyed coaching that athlete, and you can see through the fake in those letters. So, you know, if it's cookie cutter, it's very tellable. I like the personalized ones. So I think they're super important in getting to know that kid.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you said that, because I also have written, I don't know how many, like, and not only that, but also, you know, recommendations for jobs and things like that. And, you know, honestly, the ones that I'm like, well, they probably shouldn't get this position, I just clip and paste. And the ones that I'm really passionate about, I take extra time to show exactly what I feel about that individual. So I think that's very important. So either way, you know, use that, guys. Go out there and say, hey, who's going to write me this rec that knows me the best, that knows I show up for my team, that knows I go above and beyond. And then if you're writing a recommendation, you know, and you feel that way, then make sure that you add those things to it. I appreciate both of you guys. We're going to end this here. I appreciate you guys as well as Jeremy. I know that, I think, Chris, it's your anniversary.
Yep,
5 years.
Five years.
Yeah. So you probably have other things that you need to get to tonight. So we're gonna go ahead and let you guys go. But I appreciate all your help on this, and hopefully we can do this again. Would y'all be willing to come back?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, Carter, say hi.
Carter, I didn't even know you were there. Awesome.
My dog made more than
we should have asked Carter. Well, let's ask her right now. Hey, Carter, do you have anything to add to this?
No.
No, she's like, no, I just want to go inside.
This has been another episode of World of Cheer, brought to you by the Open Championship Series.